I want to go a couple of places this morning, and the first place is something I said, well, we get into it deeper, and it's a fascinating word, and we see it, thank you, Tyler, for doing this, by the way, we see it actually, which we're going to see here in a little bit, I believe it's 450 times in the New Testament. And, but this word, and it's the word which we would pronounce meta, metamorphosis, metastasis, all these types of words, that we use that as a prefix. And the word, or the prefix meta for us has come to mean often the word after. However, this is 2,000 years. Am I up there on the screen, I guess? 2,000 years and a different language than our New Testament. Now, let's go with 1,500 years when they started translating into the English from the Greek. The word, or the prefix, by that time had begun to change. Just like words that we have and that we use, they, and I'll use the word, evolve. They change. The meanings of it change. And with internet and things like that, the language, I would hate to be somebody that a philologist would be trying to keep up with these things, because the language is just changing so rapidly because of different phrases used here and there. But this one didn't change that rapidly, but it changed, and one of the reasons it changed was because of science. And we'll go ahead and give it the 1,500 years. Science began to use, they had to come up with a nomenclature, is what they call it. And like when we see species, the scientific name will have the genus name. In other words, what genus it's related to. They all, you know, the wasp or the social wasp, different ones. And then the species name. So they call it binomial, two words, binomial, nomenclature. And it's, so it would be like the mockingbird, mimus. It's part of the mimics that do that, the catbirds and thrashers, and they do mimicking. And then polyglottis, poly meaning many-tongued. So two words describing that. And they used Latin and Greek. The scientists used Latin and Greek for this. And somebody began to use the word meta in the scientific nomenclature, which eventually, of course, is going to leak out into our nomenclature. Now, by the time they're putting in the English Bible, this had already begun. And people began to look at the word meta in the Greek and translating it as the word after. Now, the fact is that it didn't mean after, usually did not mean after. And you may be, why are we talking about this? We're going to show you. It's amazing where it is translated as after and where it's not translated as after. Now, again, it's not that we see the change in the Greek word. We don't see it necessarily evolving. We do see the change in our understanding of that. Just like with the word charis. Charis, we've just translated, okay, it means grace. But when you go back and look at the word charis, it has changed meanings from the Greek since the translation of the English Bible, because they found a whole lot of very old common language Greek manuscripts that have given a greater and better understanding of what the word charis means. And when Paul would have written the word charis, everybody would have gone, oh, that's what he means. And so it has changed, honestly, it's changed within theological circles what the word charis or what the word grace is defined as. The same with our understanding of the Greek, of the word meta. It changed, interestingly, oh, I should say the English and the German, you know, whatever, French, all of these that were, what they would do is they would take the Greek and it would change within the scientific workings. And so it changed, if you understand what I'm saying, it changed in the way that we would look at it. But what was interesting is it didn't change the way a Greek person 2,000 years ago and more would have looked at it. They would have said among and with, rarely used it as the word after. So it changed over here, not with the Greek. And when you look in the Greek literature, it almost is always translated as the word with or among and of. That's what it means. Now that's interesting and very interesting in terms of our English Bibles. And the reason that we're looking at this right now is because of the understanding that it gives us when we read Scripture and what Yahweh is trying to give over to us and to let us know. Now, I want to say something else with this. All of this is one of the things that where there it is, we talked, and Sproul talked about it, we listened to him the other day talking about the translation that we have from Irenaeus and his giving of, I mean, one or two sentences and everybody goes, see, the book of Revelation was written late rather than early. And it changes everything. Now, what does it matter? Because it changes everything in what the purpose, this, you have no idea how huge this is. What's the purpose of Christianity? What's the purpose of you being a Christian? What's the purpose of our lives? Is the purpose I get to go to heaven? Like I said, there has been, if we were to look just at this word, because of some really bad Greek and a really bad translation from what Irenaeus said, we have changed and built, we have changed what real Christianity means and built a complete mythology around the book of Revelation, around Matthew 24, around all sorts of scriptures. And we have. Why would such a thing be? Because 2,000 years ago, at the cross, Jesus Christ, your Lord and my Lord, defeated you. Wait, I wasn't there.
Were you there when they crucified?
Yes, you were. You got killed. This is good news. You died. And he defeated the enemy. Now, the enemy of your soul who hates your soul and hates your guts and everything else about you, and doesn't want you worshiping the true God, has said, well, let's just mess this up. And the more that I look in the Bible, the more I go, oh my goodness, this is, what's the purpose, folks? What's the purpose? The purpose is the at-one-ment. Oh, I saw, what was I looking at last night? Something in Greek. And the word atonement Here we go. Stop the press. This is per. I need to go and find where in the world I saw this. I remember just going, oh, you're kidding. The word atonement was actually invented. It was invented by, it was a big name. I just glanced at it and wound up closing up the whatever it was I was looking at because I had to go on to something else. But I was stunned. It was invented as someone translating and commenting on the Greek and Hebrew texts of the Bible. And the word was invented to combine the words at and one-ment. And so when people stare at you funny when you say the word at one-ment, and they try to say, well, didn't you mean atonement? Look at them in the eyes and smile and go, no, I did not. You're displaying your ignorance. Don't say that to them. But, you know, I mean, it means at one-ment. And that's what the person meant it to be. Staggering. So, wait a second. Now, that won't work at all. Okay, stop. Back up. I want everybody to be Satan. It's not that difficult for you. Come on. Back up. What are you going to do? Oh, they've come up with a word. That won't be good. They've come up with the word that the English speakers will be able to figure out, that it's not about the church. This won't work at all. What's the word they've come up with? They've come up with the word at one-ment. Ooh, that's not good. I know what we'll do. We'll change the pronunciation and the definition. And Satan goes, or... it's an old trick, but it just might work. It's the old trick he's used over and over again. Let's change the pronunciation. Let's change the definition. Let's change the definition. Has this, you know, maybe a younger demon go, Chief, I don't mean to be weird here, but has this worked before? Can you say the word keep? Yeah, we have got them so messed up, they don't even know what they're supposed to be doing anymore. They think they're supposed to be obeying the commandments. Look at that, watch that one right there. Watch, this is hilarious. Independent Baptist. You know, whatever. We all do it. Me Baptist. Oh, I got to be good. And so change the definition. Change the meaning of it. Folks... what's Christianity? The end result? The final goal? Christ lives in me. Christ liveth in me. Got nothing to do with you're going to go to heaven. Maybe it happens, but we know it's not in the Bible anywhere. Not one scripture ever says, when you die, you go to heaven. I love looking at people's faces when I say that to them. I'm telling you, the eyes get big and they just freeze up. And I didn't tell them that they weren't going to go to heaven. I didn't tell them they necessarily weren't going to get a mansion. I just said it's not in the Bible. You know, it's this. Then what's the point? Well, there's actually a really good point. Living in God Himself. And God Himself living in you, sharing life with the Creator, your eyes seeing everything different, your eyes seeing one another not as people that, oh, it's time for me to use that person, or it's time for me to manipulate them, or what can I get out of them, that there is a freedom that is suddenly there in me. Why? I died at the cross. See? It's to allow... what was supposed to have happened at the beginning. How was man supposed to be? And what has happened is that God bought us, redeemed us, with a fair trade, and brought us back into the life that we were supposed to have had from the beginning. You want to know what Christianity is about? Well, there it is. It has nothing to do with Jesus came to produce another religion so we could fight with the Muslims. Or fight amongst ourselves. No. Anyway, I want to take a look now at some of the places where the word meta is used. Look at this. 350 cases in the New Testament with or among. 96, it's translated after. Now, we're just going to go through and look at these things. The reason that this is up here is just to kind of give you a little bit of a visual on this kind of stuff. Because it's interesting, as we go down, looking at the numbers here, this is about, it's less than a quarter. Less than a quarter of the time that it's translated after. But what's interesting is when we look at these, we can say after, but it also could be during the time. If you look, it's always amazing to me. So I have with here, and it'll be bolded and underlined, etc. So let's go down and look here. Mary's with child, a ship with, as a with. And we just keep doing withs. And here, after 6 days, maybe, but could have been, you know, during the sixth day. In other words, it could have been during that too. So not necessarily, but it can be after. But look, so far we found what, two afters and a whole bunch of widths. We keep on going, more and more. There's an of, and an of is a with. I just kind of gave it the benefit of the doubt. And now we're coming to, and guess where we get to? Interesting. Do you understand what happened? We get to Matthew 24. Why? Because it's part of the mythology. This is the way that it's been, and so it has to be with. After. But it could be immediately with the tribulation of those days. Why? Because that's what it says. And I might add, that's what happened. Amazing. Okay, so we at least get a with in Matthew 24 a couple of times here. But not in that one spot. Now, isn't that interesting? Okay, here we have, it has to be after the tribulation. Why? Well, who knows? But now let's continue to look. Matthew 24, with power. He shall send his angels with a great sound. Matthew 24, they will be eating and with the drunkenness, etc. Matthew 24, his portion will be with the hypocrites. Look at that. There's five times, and the only time that it's used is in that particular way, in that spot. We continue looking at widths. Now, this one could easily be an after a long time, okay? But if you think about it, it all could be with of a long time and with a long time. Again, this is, I personally think this is Gentile thinking. When we think of the Passover, Passover's here. How many days is Passover? It's one. It's one. No, you're right. And you were right. It's one. I was being bad. How many days? But you're a Gentile. What are you going to say? Well, when you watch the Jews, how many? It's 7 days, 8 days? Yeah. There you go. But it's not. It's one day. And we tend to think of things the way that we put it into 24-hour days, midnight to midnight. That's not the way the Jews think. We go one day and they're starting it at the end of when the sun goes down, and we don't. It goes on and on because of our thinking. after 2 days, anyway, the feast of the Passover, the Son of Man, anyway, you see what I'm saying is that we, and by the way, we know one other place that we Gentiles have been able to mess up something greatly, and that is how many days Jesus was in the tomb. Isn't it interesting that that after we just looked at, that's what it's talking about? I'm embarrassed to be a Gentile. That's all there is to it. What's the Gentile privilege? Yeah, here we have an after, and yeah, after a while, this is where Peter is being confronted that he's a Galilean, and but easily that could be during this time, you know, then that's what it meant, and certainly after a while. But again, that is an English, when it said it's used as an idiom, that's an English idiom, after a while. Okay? All right. Oh, look at this one. This one I found fascinating. And came out of the graves after his resurrection and went. Now, I've often read it and gone, wait a second, something's amiss with that. And the thing that made my brain, and I know it was the Lord, saying, that doesn't make sense. When, I got to ask a question, Jesus is resurrected, when would it make sense that others were resurrected and came out of the tomb? After or during? You see, what happened? I mean, let's get a little... When I was in high school, a bunch of guys and I, when something was emotional, we call it, let's get teary-eyed. You know, we're getting teary-eyed. And let's get teary-eyed with some chill bumps for a second. Father is looking down and it's time. Could you imagine? I can't imagine what the tenseness in the heavenlies would have been like. The powers, the principalities and rulers have already been defeated. They're, you know, what was this going on about? And all of heaven, everything in the spiritual realm, it's like a bow that's pulled back and it's ready to go. And Father says, it's now. And His Spirit goes into a dead man that's been lying there for 3 days and three nights. Now, got a question for you. What if that was really powerful? Now, I'm being tongue-in-cheek, obviously. And we can assume God's aim was pretty good, but He can't control the leaks. What happens? It goes into Jesus, but it's power. Remember that prayer in the first chapter of Ephesians? These are in accordance with what? The working of His might. Whoom! It was during the resurrection. It was not after the resurrection. It was during the resurrection. He's resurrected one. Oh, sorry, it leaked out into some other ones and they wandered around in the towns and talked to people and stuff like that and just freaked everybody out. But what do you expect? This is God's power of resurrection. It resurrected you. Why should we be? Anyway, I'm looking at this one, I go, excuse me, I don't believe that. That's not a good after again. By the way, I would... I don't know, I can make this available to you electronically, but I would, just in your Bible, there's words that you should have marked that if it's just with the markers that we gave you, yeah, the highlighter things, but you've got to use a ballpoint pen. You can't use like this if you're going to write something and it leaks through it, but... a good ballpoint, and you can just write the word meta out to the side so that you can tell people, guess what? that word does not mean after here. Almost every other place in the Bible, it was during or with. All of a sudden, we have to... Now, we've already talked about in Matthew 24, but there's places in the book of Revelation, too. We're going to look at some of those as we go along. Miss Davis, anything? Anybody have anything on this as we're going along here? All right. Let's just keep... I wanted you to... Setting a watch, okay? The setting... In this case, would be the word that was where meta would have been used as a prefix, and the setting would have been with a watch. The setting it, and again, that's an English idiom. But look at all the widths here. Look at all this. Goes on and on and on until. Okay. Transfiguration after 6 days, maybe. We can go along with that. But then, again, the feast thing that we looked at earlier, but in Mark 13, same word, we have to keep up the myth. After that tribulation, but that's when we look at what the Bible actually says, it was during the tribulation. Okay? We go and we keep on going more and more. So here we are in 15, not many days after. Okay, we can go along with that. Again, we saw an among, with. There's an after there. But, and I think the point is made, and again, the point that I'm trying to make, and let's go on down to, because it just continues with the same thing that we don't want to just drive you crazy with, and we'll just spot check and you see how many widths are there, and we get to the book of Revelation. He comes with the clouds, speaking with me. But look, when we start talking about time, it's got to be changed. The things which shall be hereafter. Really? Why? Why not herewith? Somebody has chosen to translate it that way. Do you understand what I'm saying, folks? Somebody chose to translate and put that after in there. We see a lot of widths in the book of Revelation, and oh, and this is interesting. Again, after this I looked. Well, why not during this? It's so many of these things that... Oh, here we are. The things which must be hereafter. That's not what it's saying. Anyway, folks, I'm just stunned by this, and I wanted you guys just to be able to see. And... after these things, anyway, it goes on and on. So we'll stop with that. But I wanted you to see that one thing, because as we look at the word and see the word after, we need to take a look, bless you, my son, at whether it is saying after. For the most part, that this word is translated with, on, among, and I think we see at almost every spot that's what it can mean. Big deal. It is a big deal. If we look in Matthew 24, we've already seen where it says, oh, these things happen after. Really? Why? Not when we look at what the Bible is actually saying in And let's, I wanted to say, and take it in terms of the code, and I hate using that term, but the way the Bible speaks of things. People get all excited with kind of in the way we're going to be talking now. They go, well, you can't spiritualize everything, and it's hard for me not to roll my head back into my eyes. I go, nobody's trying to do that. But the word is, as Miss Davis likes to point out, is spirit. Paul tells us that. And there are many things about this that are spiritual that we have tried to bring it down into a humanist and a man-centered. Where's your? This is time for your word. You're doing good.
Yeah, anthropocentric.
You got it. Go on.
Anthropocentric.
Anthropocentric. Unfortunately, with the church and the church saying we're taking the place of God, it's happened. I'm telling you, that's what's happened. They have to translate certain words in particular ways. Do I think that there is, a conspiracy going on? Yes. I just don't think most people are aware of it. I think that Satan and his conspiracy has started this out at a very early time, and I mean very early. At the very early in the, it always amazes me when people will say, "I'm quoting from the church fathers." That's nice, but they're not the Bible. And you look at different things the church fathers had to say, and you're really going, "I don't want to be here. I don't want the lightning to come down and hit when." Because of some of the things they've said and where some of this mythology started. It did not start with the apostles. It did not start with the disciples. Now, all of that to, again, get us to places we're trying to go to. But I'm not going to go to Matthew 24 today. I want to do something else. I want to read part of the book of Revelation. Let's turn over there to this, please. Now, before we get started, what I want to say is I want us to read, just so we're bringing it out. We're going to start in the book, the first chapter, and read a little ways through here. And everybody will get their chance to read, so be prepared. Get rid of your NIV so I don't discover it. And thinking in terms of what we've talked about already, and not superimposing anything on the text. You can read these books where they'll go, and it sounds so exciting, it does. Look, there's seven churches, and guess what? There's seven ages. There's seven ages in the world. Depends on who's writing the ages, of course, but, I mean, what are y'all's ages? There's more than that, see? I mean, I've already proven them wrong. Here are these ages, and it's why? Why? Well, because this pope was back here. That pope was every other pope too. There's
because knowledge
has
ceased.
What now?
Because knowledge has ceased.
I like it. That's very good. I wonder sometimes if it ever even got any traction. And got going anywhere. You kind of wonder. And when they took the first bite of the fruit of what? The knowing of good and evil, they lost their ability to know. I mean, it's fascinating. If you think about what would man look like if we had not rebelled? Now, I want to say something. I started off on this a few minutes ago. Now, I'm not saying I believe what I'm about to say. I don't. But I might. It's just getting closer and closer. One of the things that I have begun to realize, I don't want to say discovered because I'm kind of behind on the discovery part of things, that I think Mrs. Davis and I both have begun to realize, and we throw it at y'all. The meaning of life is not, you think about, what a dumb meaning for life. What's the meaning for life? Well, when I die, I go to heaven. I mean, that just hurts saying it. What's the meaning of life? I die. That's really not the meaning of life, but of course it is. The meaning of life is I die and go to heaven. That is, you're kidding. So the the chunk of your life on this earth is absolutely wasted. You die and you go to heaven. Oh no, I went down the aisle too. So, you know, 5 minutes. We'll add in another 5 minutes for your baptism in the baptismal. What if? Now remember, I'll predicate this with the following scripture, that we are surrounded by what? Air? What? A cloud. Boy, now there's a fun study to do too. The word cloud in the Bible, especially in the New Testament. We're surrounded by clouds of witnesses. One of the things that I've discovered, revealed, is that even if this book is myth, eternal life is myth. I'll go with that. Eternal life is myth. That part of it is myth. I would rather live my life as a Christian. I would rather live my life with Jesus in me, knowing that at the end of my life, somehow there a power had brought me to not just living life with the thought of how can I use other people to make me happy. That my life is only about me. The real message of Christianity has set me free from that. Oh, do I stumble and go back to it every once in a while? Of course, yeah. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, for the most part, I walk in a freedom. I've certainly, when I had a different mindset, did not walk in. And it's God's Word and His power that's changed me. I couldn't change that. How many of you, now just stop, really ask the question down deep. How many of you really, really, in yourself, really want to be that good? Now come on. You don't. I mean, down inside self, do you want to be there? Are you kidding? What? I'm the one that keeps telling you, go that way. Let's go. Come on. Quit listening to this fellow. Let's go. Get out of that book. Let's go. We don't want to be that good. Somewhere there's something that is saying to you from the outside in, not the inside out, but I want you to be that good. To give you a desire to be that good that will, from time to time, I don't want to say it's too much, but from time to time will overcome that incredible desire that you have to not be quite that good. That you are repulsed at different things of evil. That it hurts when you see suffering in this world. All of the things that the Bible speaks against. And it's not because you sat there and fed on it, I promise you, in your church time. I would rather live my life with this book being in me and the power of God changing my view of things and my view of myself, and at the end of my life having lived that way, than any other way. I would. Now, let's go ahead and call that one is not myth. That's reality. Now let's look at the myth. The myth is it's not you die and go to heaven. That is so pitiful. But now I want to ask you a question. Let's say Peter, when he died 2,000 years ago, and he dies and he's translated into the presence of God. And he's not a body. He doesn't have a physical body. He's got a soul. All he is in the presence of God now. And that's where he is. Now let's go ahead and we know there's a resurrection of the body coming, but it hasn't happened yet. Why would there need to be that? Especially if you don't live in heaven anyway. All I'm saying is the following. What if the plan all along was certainly not you to go and live in heaven in a physical body, because that's what they're telling you, that you're going to live there in a physical body. But the plan all along was that your soul is saved, and because your soul is truly saved and it's desirous to be living in God, that when you die, you become part of the cloud of witnesses. Oh dear. And you don't go to heaven. Oh dear. Why? You were designed to live on this earth. Oh dear. Oh dear. Now, the resurrection comes, but we are... What is the difference between their mythology and what I'm saying now? That it's saved souls wanting to be filled with God's power. And then it goes around to a saved soul and a saved body. But it's on this earth. But that's not what the end goal was. The end goal is, and we're running out of time, I'm not going to be able to read from Revelation, but the end goal is that I live in Christ and Christ lives in me. The end goal is that God's power lives in me and I live in that power. I overcome me by that power. Folks, when that becomes what you can preach from the book of Revelation, from Matthew 24, from whatever in all of Scripture, now you've come to where you're supposed to be. Not telling people pie in the sky by and by, but that, and that one of these days you'll be better. I'll be better by and by. Really? Really? Is there any wonder that the world looks at Christians, that's what they say, and they go, I don't want any part of that? Why would they? Ms. Davis, you look like you're poised over there.
It's just the book of Colossians. It's Christ be informed in us is the mystery of the gospel, must be independent upon another life. It is that we die and go to heaven, but it's here on earth that we die and go to heaven. He comes and dwells in us, and that is heaven on earth. It's His life being manifested. It's the Word becoming flesh in us. And yeah, so it's not me. It's like he's been reminding me lately. Everything, every trial we face is I'm not going to try to be better or try to live in it in myself and try harder or whatever it is, the lie. I wonder if that isn't the lie. You can do this. You will be like God. You can handle everything.
I think it is the lie.
It's the man trusting, setting himself up as God in his temple. It's me trusting and living from me rather than I have to live dependent upon another to live for me. I'm no longer living. It's Christ living in me and for me. And it's that is heaven coming down and glory filling our soul. It is what he's intended. Is in the trials, it's to press us to turn and let him live, to die that he lives in us, you know, and it's the mystery of the gospel. And Paul knew it. He knew it. He knew it, knew it. And when he said, it's no longer I living, he meant it. And so, anyway.
Amen. Folks, that's what the mystery of the good news is. This is the mystery. And what we've done is changed it into a religion and go into heaven. Let me tell you something. One of the other things is just in the last year or so that I've gone, oh my. I mean, it's really begun to solidify. When you read about it, and Ms. Davis was saying it, when you read about it or you think about it, mankind, with the help of Satan, I don't want to not give his due, mankind has got it completely backwards. over and over and over. Miss Davis said, it's not about going to heaven. What's the truth? That's the direction that mankind says it's about going to heaven. What's the truth?
Heaven coming down to earth.
Mankind says it's about eternal life. The truth is, it's about life eternal. Mankind said it's about a religion. Now, this just kind of says it all. We can close up the Bibles and go home after this. And God goes, absolutely not. It's about a relationship. We say it's about the atonement. God says, no, it's about the atonement. We could go through, and with all, we could go through with, what are all the myths? And the Bible says almost exactly the opposite. It's amazing. It's scary amazing. It's scary amazing. It's not about this life. Ms. Davis, you have anything else you want? Anybody else have anything on this? Yes, sir.
The other day I was really excited because you had mentioned about after, not necessarily, it's not, doesn't mean after. And so then I looked it up and it was meta. And I'm like, wow. And then I was reading through like the dailies and Revelation, I'm seeing that. And it makes a lot more sense. And you look at it and you're like, there's hardly anything in Revelation that's talking about the future. A lot of it is what's either happened before or what's happening now. So that was one thing. And I really appreciated you bringing that up. I'd actually asked the Lord to give me some more on that because I wanted to hear more about that. Anyway.
So
that's exciting.
Yeah, amen. You know, that, like I said, the person that called me up years ago and said, you've been accused of becoming or being a preterist, when I told them, I said, let me explain why I've gotten to, at least, I'm not a preterist, I'm a predator. I'm a predator for Christ. But how I got to that point was, and I really mean this, God beginning to convict me on looking at the book of Revelation and it not being what every other book in the Bible was to me. Every other book in the Bible was encouraging and was about now and was about life and was meant for me, but not the book of Revelation. It's out in the future and almost impossible to understand unless I have somebody running around with a bunch of charts and things all over the walls and screaming and yelling at me and telling me I'm going to hell. And I begin to suspicion. I really am. Well, let me ask. Are there other comments on Joe?
No, we will. Just one quick comment.
Yeah.
Paris Freehead, obviously, I've said this before, but I really like it. He said humanism is the betrayal of the ages. And he was describing, he said, liberalism says happiness of man while he is alive. Fundamentalism says happiness of man when he dies or after he dies. And he said both is humanism. Both want happiness. Liberalism says when you're alive, do whatever you want, be happy for the better of mankind, whatever it takes. And fundamentalists say, after you die, you'll be happy and you can have whatever you want, everything's okay. And he said both come at it from a humanistic viewpoint.
Exactly right.
And I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
And but I like this in Mark 6, it's after he's done the miracles and stuff, and Jesus, they get on the boat, you know, and he says, then he got into the boat, and the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished, for they had not gained any insight from the incidents of the loaves, but their heart was hardened. And the reason, not the only reason, but a reason why we cannot see Scripture as it was intended to be is because we've hardened our hearts to receiving what it says, and we're blinded to the truth, and our hearts are hardened and can't receive the word. And so it's just as you receive the word, it breaks up the hardened ground in your heart to be able to receive what it truly is saying, and to be able to receive the truth. So like when Ben was sharing, God's given me a greater insight. He's breaking up the hardness of heart, of areas hardened to truths. And so I thought that was really good.
I think so too.
This, what Joe is bringing up again, is why are you here? Why did you come to IMI in the first place? It's because every one of us have what Joe is saying. We have this hardness of heart that we can look at the Bible and we can't see what it's saying. Why? Because Satan has hardened our heart. How? Through other teaching. Through what you went through earlier. Well, this is what this means, you know, and you're told that, well, is it okay? And every time you see, well, the coming of the Lord, you're going, well, there it is. I mean, I did for many, many years. I remember one day the Lord's going, will you please stop and take a look at it? That's not talking about the end times. Oh, no, are there other times? Guess what? My heart had been hardened to see what the coming of the Lord meant. I only knew one thing. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, a time shall be no more. And that's all I knew. The coming of the Lord. That's not what the coming of the Lord is. Then the vast majority of times in Scripture, it's very, very little talking about the end times when it talks about the coming of the Lord. But we have been told something different. And our hearts become hardened to hearing the truth that the Lord has for us of life now and it abundantly.
And even if He does open your eyes, like there is a blind man He healed. It says he healed the blind man for his faith and stuff. And he got up and followed him. And I asked myself the question, if God were to open the eyes of my heart to His word or to Him, would I follow Him? And so, there's so many times where He opens my eyes to seeing stuff, great insight, greater knowing of Him, and then I don't follow. And it's like, why am I praying for myself or for others? God, enlighten their hearts. Allow them to see. Why am I praying that? Am I praying that so they follow Him? Or am I praying that so they can just see and do what they want? And I just found that little part of Scripture where it says he followed Him after he could see.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing, I think, with Scripture. It's why am I praying for understanding or insight or a greater knowing or seeing? Because, you know, I pray that for myself. I pray it for others. I pray that the darkness would be removed. And it's like, why? And, yeah.
Yeah.
And it gets back down to humanism. I want to see for my own comfort, my own good.
Yeah.
Same with others.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And exactly a parallel with what you just said was Peter in chapter 13 of John. Why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you. I will lay down my soul for you. Peter, you cannot follow me now, but you'll follow me later. Why? Peter's wanting, he's confronting Jesus, which he did it a couple of times. Where are you going? Remember the time right after when he said, you know, far be it for thee, O Lord. And so where are you going? Peter was concerned about what? His comfort. That's what Peter was concerned about. And him being happy. And Jesus telling him full well, You need, Peter's saying, oh, I'll follow you. Why? So he can be happy. That's not what Jesus is calling him to. It's not what he's calling us to. Folks, we talk about truth here all the time. There's times that you may be thinking, well, what's it about? It's leading up to different things to try to break the hardness of your heart to be able to see things. But Joe's point is really good. Why? Why? So I can become huge and we can have a name for ourselves. No. It's so that the name will be in you. It will no longer be you who live, but Christ. Why do we evangelize? Get somebody so they can live forever. Look, they made their decision for the Lord. Did they? Are they following? Are you following? Do you understand what I'm saying, folks? Is that we've got this. Over our eyes, there's a glaze of humanism that's there all the time. Well, they've got to be saved. We've got to be saved. And we've got to, and when it becomes that, when that becomes the goal, get them saved so they go to heaven, they don't go to hell. When that becomes the goal, we'll do anything, including manipulation, including emotionalism, including where the church is now, just this incredible amount of compromise, using evil to bring about good. The falsehood with it. Joe's point, I'm afraid, is very well made. Ms. Davis, you look like you've got something to say.
In Colossians, it says that praying for wisdom and understanding, and the reason for the wisdom and understanding is that we would walk in a manner worthy of Him, pleasing Him. And that's our prayer should be that for ourselves, that we would walk in a way that's pleasing to Him. May the, like it says of Jesus, a zeal for His Father's house consumed Him. And we are His house, and we should have that same zeal in us because He lives in us. The zeal for His Father's house consume us, that we would pray that, oh, that they would be a temple fully flooded with God Himself. I would be that. That is Ephesians. It says that we would be fully flooded with God Himself. That is the Lord Jesus, fully flooded with God Himself. And that's His heart for every man, that all would walk in a way that's pleasing to Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowing of Him, strengthened by His might. But that's, you know, what is the prayer for. Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Davis. Benjamin.
We were talking about ruling and the Revelation 5 is talking about the who's worthy to break the seals. And John started crying because there wasn't anyone. And then, oh, there's one. And it's the Lamb. And He was the only one worthy to break the seals. And then after, I guess it's the four living creatures are holding the bowls of incense, and then they started singing, and they say, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain, and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. And that stuck out, and I said, wow. See him.
That's right. That's right.
You'll even find people that may say, oh, we're a kingdom of priests. Yeah, 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 yeah. They never bring up that last part. Why? To rule and reign on this earth. In the future? Why?
It's said. It was going through my mind. There's a difference between kings that reign upon the earth and then where it says the kings of the earth. And we are those who reign on the earth versus being a king of the earth. It's the kings of the earth were the enemies of God. And so it's a difference.
Amen. That's good. Thank you, Ms. Davis. Anyone else? Okay, thank you. We're not going to get around to reading what I wanted to in Revelation, but that's okay because it will still be there later if the Lord tarries. And even if he tarrieth, it'll still be there. Let's pray.